Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day?
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And DeAndre Ayton is the topic for today. One of the most pleasant surprises about the Luka Doncic trade has been the addition of today's guest to the Lakers informational sphere. His very well thought out and well researched articles on Diggin' Basketball have shot right up to the top of my must read material. Welcome back to the pod, Istok Franco. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Great to be here again.
So you recently did a deep dive into DeAndre Ayton, into his finishing and more. Without giving up too much of the post away, what thoughts did you come away with?
Like everything with DeAndre Ayton, the things are not too simple when you look at him. You know, he's such a polarizing or such an intriguing player on every aspect of the game that you look at it. So the thing that I did was basically his finishing, because and in pick and roll, because after last game we heard basically that he said, I couldn't be a confusing player in pick and roll. Luka said, I need to get him. He obviously prefers the pocket pass and things like that, so we need to figure it out. Earlier in the summer when we talked about this, we said maybe he's a type of a player that Luka needs, not only a rim player, but more, let's say, a player who can do more. And this has been so far, let's say, a problem, because he's not that elite of the top athletes to be the rim threat. And we haven't seen the pocket passes, the pocket finishes. But what I did in this article was basically any kind of finishing. So being lob, being on the drives, being in the paint. I found this crazy stat since basically he came into the league. On shots that tracking data classifies as layups, which are basically any shot around the rim, being alley-oop dunks, being layups, being cuts, being just a short floaters, just something that is not a post shot, let's say from the post-ups, he's the most efficient player in the league. He is more efficient than Giannis, which is crazy. And even in other metrics, he's like one of the best finishers in the paint. So to me, what we are seeing now in LA, we haven't seen that yet. We've seen a lot of hesitance, a lot of, let's say, him not being in comfort zone. So I'm intrigued how they can get there, how they can get this guy who is elite finisher, which is, we have 7 years of data that he is that guy. So how they can do that. And once they do it, I think it could allow them on offense to be more versatile, to punish, let's say, different defenses that they couldn't do in the past, or that Luka couldn't even do in Dallas, for example, with Derek Lively or Daniel Gafford, who everybody wanted. But they had some limitations because they didn't have this touch. They didn't have this skill around the basket. So basically, all they did was finish dunks.
This is such an interesting conversation to have, because a player like Ayton
He is a multifaceted finisher from basically 10 feet and in, which is what Iztok was highlighting there. But when all you do is catch lobs, finding the timing between the passer and the finisher can be relatively easy. When you're someone who has to find the sliding scale of finishing between all the way from like the foul line in and all of the different beats of a play in which the ball can be delivered from 15 feet and in, and what is the right pass to make at the right time, I think that's one of the reasons why Ayton was talking about him being potentially like a confusing pick and roll partner. It's because the feel that you have to develop and the chemistry that you have to develop between the two partners isn't so simple as, oh, I'm going to throw the ball to this spot near the rim or anywhere in this vicinity, the way that you might with Jackson Hayes, and say, that guy's just going to run and jump and go get it. Ayton sometimes is going to roll to the rim where he is going to be that lob threat, but he's also going to stop short at certain times where he's going to be in the pocket. Other times he's going to roll and then stop and then look to duck in. And the timing of those and the type of pass that you need to deliver on those varies, and it's different. And the partnership, that sort of dance that you have talked about before, that's something that you need reps to go through over and over and over again. And I think of Austin and I think of Luka, I think they want to involve Ayton because they know it's important to the overall team success that he be involved both offensively, but also how being involved on that side of the ball can translate to more defensive engagement. And so they're forcing passes too, Pete, and that's also messing up the chemistry to a certain degree because they're passing when the pass isn't there, or they're throwing a pass at a time when it shouldn't be made and he's not necessarily open because they want to do a thing that's going to help enhance his overall play.
That dance is so based on repetition and timing, right? That relationship between the screen setter and the ball handler. There's a great play in the Golden State game where Golden State was showing fairly high with the in the hedge and recover defense, putting two on Luka and Austin at times and then dropping back as soon as they would retreat or pick up the ball. The play that was called for Ayton to set a flat angle ball screen. And a flat angle ball screen means your shoulders are parallel with the baseline. And one of the advantages is that you can kind of go either way. But that doesn't really match the having two on the ball. It actually just puts four bodies in very close proximity to each other. But what Ayton did, and Luka sort of like gestured in a way that this is what he wanted him to do, Ayton read that and actually flipped his shoulders to be parallel with the sidelines so that he was now in the pocket. Horford was the hedging big on this. And as a result of that, Horford knows how to read all of this perfectly. Horford knew that if he didn't start retreating with Ayton, then Ayton would be available and their defense would be compromised. Therefore, that released the pressure that was initially on Luka, and Luka now had Gary Payton II, who's much smaller than him, on his hip. And so Luka drove just to the left elbow, stepped back, and just sealed that advantage. But none of that could have happened if Ayton took the initial angle that he was going to take, because that was the initial play call, right? Is set it like this, but you have to read it live in the action. Ayton describing himself as a confusing pick and roll partner. What an interesting adjective that is to describe yourself as. Iztok, in your research, what do you think he meant by that?
I think it's by that, let's say, versatility that he's not like the typical lob finisher that everybody wanted, or let's say even Luka wanted. And I think we were so focused on the results, and lob dunk is like, when you see Jackson Hayes dunk, it's like crazy. Or when you saw Derek Lively dunk or Daniel Gafford, he was such an amazing asset. But when you got just one thought also on this dance that you said, I think there was one play in that Golden State screen when Ayton did like a Gortat screen and Luka got an easy layup, you know? And that is something like, again, maybe it's not as flashy as a lob dunk, but it's the easiest 2 points. You know, it's like it was a layup for Luka. And I watched, like I said, all games from Luka and us. if you would be ever privileged to see Maxi Kleber on the court, you know, Maxi Kleber and Dwight Powell, they had like such a chemistry with these Gortat screens that even when Dwight Powell was not athletic as much, he created so many layups for Luka in this all kind of pick and roll situations. And this, I think, is again something going back to your question, why is Ayton confusing? I think he wants to do a little bit more. So he wants to change the angles on the screens. And this is what I pointed out also in film when I did this article. He did that a lot in Portland. And I think he had good chemistry with Danny Audia, even Scoop Henderson, you know. So he was creating angles. He was pointing at the players which way to go, when to throw the lob or when to drop the ball in the pocket. So I think this versatility, these different outcomes, that sits back to your point, Darius. It's not like one focus, straight line. And this is the easiest to figure out in chemistry when you are early in the process, because, you know, everybody knows what the other player will do every single time. And in Ayton's case, there is not one single outcome. And this is why I think maybe they are now even overthinking it. Based on what Ayton is saying, I could be confusing. Because everybody is expecting him just to catch lobs, and every time we want to see this lob, but that is not the only thing or even the thing he would do most of the time. So that's why I think they're struggling a little bit. But I think looking at Luka, I think he will figure it out. I tweeted this the last time when somebody was talking about this. I think Luka plays with everybody. In Slovenia national team this summer, we didn't have any lob trap big. And he still averaged 35 points a game. So I think he will figure it out. He will guide the players. But I think it's for Ayton or for Luka to figure it out for Ayton how to make the most out of him, not for himself.
Let's go to break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about the ball handler side of this and less the Ayton part of this.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
One of the ideas that I brought up, and Ayton actually mentioned this post-game after a preseason game, Luka can also be a confusing player in terms of his passing ability and the angles at which he can throw a pass, the timing in which he can throw a pass, and his penchant and want to hold the ball and engage the defense in a way that makes the late pass very available to the big man for an easiest type of finish at the basket that you can get. And Ayton mentioned his need to sort of adjust to Luka's timing. And I think that this is true for Austin as well, Pete. Austin plays at a totally different speed than Luka plays at. He is not a swerve and engage and sort of back dribble and side dribble action player. Austin is a straight line player, and he's a pull-up jump shooter in a way where Luka is more of a step back shooter, right? And so there is different sorts of timings that Ayton's going to have to adjust to with Luka as a ball handler versus Austin as a ball handler versus LeBron as a ball handler, who we haven't even talked about or seen yet at all. And this is why the preseason stuff was sort of a big frustration for us, is that the players didn't get a lot of these reps together. And even if Ayton and Austin did get more reps than these other pieces, the difference in variance in the styles of play of the ball handler plays a factor in this as well.
I think the sets that they're running and which pick and roll you're running really factors into this a lot as well. Lakers have been running a lot of their stack and Spain pick and roll type of action that I believe is best suited for when the other team is in a drop coverage. And what that does is it's such a long play. We're going to talk more about this on the pod, D, just about some of the play design of the Lakers. But a lot of the sets the Lakers run cover a lot of distance, right? A stack is naturally, especially with Luka, if you're trying to spread the defense out, a lot of times he's got the ball right near half court, and that Spain pick and roll is just very elongated. And what that does is if you are good at getting downhill, let's get a little runway to the basket and go fly into the hoop like a Jackson Hayes, that's great. And you can get that if they're in a drop type of coverage, right? But if there's two on the ball, first off, this whole conversation, I'm actually fairly optimistic about it working out, because I think so much of it is resolved just by reps. The whole element of Ayton being confusing, Luka being a little confusing, Austin and Ayton playing at totally different tempos, this gets resolved to a degree with just repetition and time. So, but I do think that part of that is understanding when Ayton's actually excellent abilities in the short roll and in the pocket are appropriate relative to the defense that the Lakers are facing versus let's get Jackson in the game and get downhill and go to the basket. Now, Isaac Ayton will have to be good at that as well, right? This has to get resolved. There has to be some degree of competence, and you couldn't reach that incredible stat that you listed earlier without also being a great lob finisher as well. So I'm a little concerned about Ayton's athleticism in this respect, but I do think that there's an element of a lot of the Lakers' plays are really stretched out for a team that I don't have a think has a lot of foot speed. And I think there's a ton of potential in sort of more of the phone booth side pick and rolls where you're closer together with each other. And Ayton's kind of an interesting interior passer as well, that I think there's something that they can play with as well on that front. So I just wanted to throw that into the conversation.
Yeah, I think athleticism, obviously he's not on the level of Jackson Case or let's say Daniel Gafford, but I watched plenty of his lobs from Portland. I think he's more than capable finishing than. I think looking at his career of, I think, lobs per 100 possessions, I think he's very close to Daniel Gafford. So he's not like non-finisher on lob. As I said, I think we are a little bit over-focused now, and Golden State of all the teams is the last team that you will get lobs against. I wrote this in my preview. They're just too fast, too smart this time for the Lakers. And it was obvious. They were like two steps ahead, and Draymond will disrupt anything, especially if you don't have other things figured out. So I think the lobs will come when they will play lesser opponents. And I'm not that worried about that. To me, the curious part is when more complex situations occur, right? And this is where we see some other players in Dallas sometimes struggle. When we go against switching defense, when we go, like you said, two on the ball and he has a short roll, he's maybe not the fastest decision maker there. How does he do there? I think here my hope, or let's say my trust is Luka, in Luka, is that historically what he was able to do for these bigs, because he's so manipulative, he will always drag the double team as far away that he buys his big man an extra half a second of time, which makes all the difference. So this is something that I think bodes well for Ayton. Then as for switching, this is something that I would like to see. Basically, when they face a team that will switch, can he punish the other smaller player in the paint, on the offensive glass, and things like that? So these are the things that I think we will see. To me, I'm more curious to see even more than the lobs.
I'm super interested to see how much teams even do switch against the Lakers when it's a Luka Ayton pick and roll or when it's a Austin Ayton pick and roll. The Warriors have traditionally been a switch heavy team. And when Al Horford played for the Celtics, Boston was obviously a switch heavy team as well, but Boston felt very comfortable switching Horford out onto LeBron, to Luka, and on to Austin. And they survived those possessions and won many of those possessions with ended up when jump shots, step back jumpers, or really like strung out offensive plays where you try to drive and kick and a guy is taking a corner three with two on the shot clock or something like that. But there's a difference between those sorts of pick and rolls when Jackson Hayes is setting the screen versus Ayton. And Ayton can punish smaller players just by ducking in and getting in to the post. I know he can frustrate some fans because he's as likely to shoot a turnaround jumper over a 6'5 player as he is a 7-foot player. His sort of arsenal doesn't change. He's not going to power through a smaller guy and just dunk the ball. But Pete, I tend to think, and we'll see if this bears out, that teams are going to be hesitant to switch with Ayton on the court, and that's going to allow Luka to play with two on the ball or face more standard pick and roll coverages where the idea of getting familiarity with the pocket and Ayton playing in the pocket and him being comfortable there is going to end up being so much more. And Luka's ability to split at the top of the floor the way that he did over the summer with Slovenia and then against Golden State, they put two on the ball and he was just getting to the basket over and over and over again by splitting the hedge. And so if these are the coverages that he's going to see, he's going to score a ton. And yeah, we can talk about Ayton and the pocket and the lob and everything else, but 2 points is 2 points. And a lot of times it's going to be Luka who's getting those baskets.
Well, like Istak was saying earlier, you know, you might not get a stat for it. It might not be the flashiest thing, but a well-set Gortat screen in the paint for a Luka layup. I can't think of a better shot in basketball than Luka going to the rack with nobody around him. You know what I mean? We're going to score if that happens. And so the ability to read situations and then have the versatility within your skill set to be able to capitalize on them. This is part of the reason why I'm fairly bullish on this combination as they get more and more repetition.
One thing that I wanted to say, this summer national team, we used to have naturalized Americans that were supposed to be the lob threats. And this summer, we just didn't have the guy. You know, that's why Jackson Hayes is in the picture because Luka obviously wants one. So this summer, the one Josh Nibo, who was supposed to be that, canceled last minute, or they didn't, he didn't show up. So they recalled the only other center we had, which was this huge 7 feet one guy, but extremely slow footed, extremely non-athletic. And in the training camp, in the first game, it was like frustration. He cannot finish. He cannot this. But what we saw as the tournament progressed, it was like Luka guiding the guy slowly into position. So instead of the low pass, it was a bounce pass. Instead of this, it was like something around the basket. In the last game against Germany, which was basically the most athletic team they faced, what happened, because Luka was forcing these different coverages, the guy figured out he can punish the teams on the defensive glass. So this was something, again, when you have a big that is different, that is stronger, I think these are some of the angles, these are some of the counters that you can do. That's why I'm saying I'm not worried that Luka will figure it. I think, yes, probably he would prefer to have a pogo stick just to throw blocks a little bit. But I think offensively, they will figure it out. I think having a big that is a little bit more layered, that can do different things, that can rebound, that could punish, that could hit a different shot, I think that could, on the long run, could work out well.
Let's go to break. And when we come back, I want to bring this into the immediate time frame with tomorrow's game.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
So, Dee, you were just making a point. If these are the coverages they're going to run, and it's we're going to see less switching as a function of just the presence that Ayton creates, I think it's very likely that the Rudy Gobert Minnesota Timberwolves spend a decent amount of tomorrow, at least to start out with, in that drop. And it's not as two on the ball aggressive as it was with Golden State. So talk to me about some of the opportunities in this upcoming game.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do with Gobert. Luka had a time trying to isolate Gobert a ton and bring him out and drag him out where it's just like, oh yeah, you're in a drop. But as Iztok was saying, Luka is so good at engaging the big and then taking him with him. So he'll sidestep dribble and then he'll hang dribble and he'll make the big think, if I actually leave right now, am I leaving Luka Doncic alone to just play in the mid-range or give up a driving lane? Or am I late already to get back anyway and the lob is going to go over my head, so I might as well stay engaged? And so that cat and mouse game is something that I think Luka's going to try to exploit against Gobert over and over and over again. And if Minnesota does decide they're going to stay in a traditional drop, I am interested to see what those Spain actions look like and being able to get that back screen and get Ayton downhill, not necessarily to catch a lob and to finish, but to be able to establish position deeper in the paint where an offensive rebound is possible or a drive and late kick from Luka is possible. This is where the end result of how it can look doesn't always have to be the first thing that the play is designed to create, right? So if you're running that stack and you want to get the big rolling downhill cleanly, that's to set up the lob. That's why you're running that action. But if it ends up that Ayton ends up 4 feet from the basket with a guard pinching in on him and Luka gets a shot up on the basket and then Ayton's just able to bury that guard and get an easy offensive putback, then that's the same as a lob. To be like, you've achieved your goal. Also, too, if you then suck in the defense from the perimeter to help, then Luka's the most creative skip passer, I don't know, since when? Like, maybe since LeBron. In fact, Luka's even more creative because he'll throw that behind-the-head pass or that behind-the-back pass that goes to the opposite slot rather than just the skip that goes to the corner. It's unreal vision combined with execution, right? And so the ability to create open threes, I think, is just as much a critical part of this idea of the pick and roll that we often talk about, oh, the lob and the chemistry with Ayton and trying to get it there. But it's as much about, can Rui get an open three? He didn't see an open shot until his second or third shift, Pete. So getting the satellite players going against an aggressive defense like Minnesota's as well, I think is super critical to the overall success of the game plan.
The coverage against Minnesota drop is, they want to do that because Rudy is the most comfortable sitting back. But I think historically, Luka had a lot of success against Jaden McDaniels, who is otherwise a great defender, but in drop, he can get his on his feet, on his hip, and strength is not his best attribute. So that's why often we saw Chris Finch even hedge and trap, even with Rudy in the past. So we will see. That will be interesting. But what I'm really watching with Ayton in this game is the other part or all other aspects of the game, because what was the problem with the Lakers in the Timberwolves series was basically just the lack of bulk and size and physicality dealing with Rudy Gobert shoving around in the paint for offensive rebounds, setting, I don't know, illegal screens, hitting guys, Julius Randle bullying guys. Yeah, you're smiling. You should see one screen that he set against the Timberwolves.
About Julius Randle screen. Yeah. Iztok, forgive me for the interjection. One of these days, go back and watch, you know, Kobe's last game where he scored 60 points. The refs weren't calling anything, and Julius was on that team. You want to see the most American football offensive lineman screens ever set in basketball history? Julius Randle in that game. So we know all about that.
So, yeah, basically, I want to see that aspect that's been criticized about Ayton. Is he, let's say, not complete solution, but at least is he a center that will be able to survive 25 to 30 minutes? Because eventually, I think when LeBron is back, small ball lineups in the clutch will still be JJ's thing. But is it that only the counter, and you can have a big guy who will get the beating, who will even distribute some of the beating on the other end, you know? And so they do not get completely bullied inside by Rudy and Julius. So this is something that I would really like to see in the next game from Ayton.
Pete, how much do you think the Lakers can play more traditional basketball with Ayton, and like how that would impact the coverages, right? When Istok's talking about watching Gobert bury people in the paint, or Julius Randle bury people in the paint, he's talking about burying Austin Reeves. He's talking about burying Gabe Vincent. Like the Lakers were switching a ton, switching 1 through 5, and they were ending up with guards in low man positions. And if Ayton can stay on the court and play, it's just his general size and the ability to play conventional coverages would make it so that maybe you're not ending up with Julius Randle posting up Austin Reeves, right? And I think this is part of the way that Ayton can be of value even just in the 25 minutes that he's playing.
He's going to be immensely valuable in this aspect of the game. But as we always make our chess analogies, if you want to know if you're going to win an exchange, you have to count, do I have more attackers than they have defenders? If so, yes. If it's tied, the defense is going to win. And the reason I bring that up is if you negate that by starting Gabe Vincent next to Austin Reeves or going smaller elsewhere, Ayton is a piece. He is somebody that is the least likely to be thrown around in the paint by Rudy Gobert. But if it's Rudy Gobert and Julius Randle, who else do we have out there? LeBron was... I've talked a lot about LeBron being really important to our defensive rebounding. No more was that the case against Minnesota. And so you need to have other guys in there. Ayton just can't be alone. But yes, he provides the Lakers a valuable piece in that respect. I'm concerned about the constant decision making of, okay, we have one large human being in the game now. Let's go as small as we can on the perimeter. And that's been what the Lakers' decision making has been for the last few years.
This is an important litmus test to me about how much Jared Vanderbilt has value for this team. If there is a team that Vando should be playing against, I honestly think it's Minnesota, right? I understand that there's shooting concerns and that there's going to be times where they sag off and they shrink the floor against Luka because Vando is in the game. But Vando's the sort of dude that he could absorb possessions against Julius Randle. He could absorb a ton of possessions against Anthony Edwards. And the ability to defend some of their best players, there's really no other guy on the roster that you can say, well, actually, those are their two best guys. And I sort of trust Vando to hold up in either situation. Like, I don't trust Rui to do it. Maybe Marcus Smart, some, but Ant's quickness and athleticism is a level above now, like prime Marcus Smart maybe, but this version, not as much. And so we'll see how much JJ actually trusts Vando, because I think that he can be an important piece.
We were talking with Pete before we started, what's my next analysis, and I'm doing a preview for this game. And I think the only weakness the biggest weakness that I saw in the first game of against Portland is they don't start Conley anymore. So they had like Dante DiVincenzo bringing up the ball, and he had 6 turnovers just bringing up against Portland pressure. So he was benched later in the game. And then in the second half, they had Julius Randle, they had Jaden McDaniels, they had Sharp bringing up the balls, and it was a huge problem. JJ talked about ball pressure in the training camp, and we didn't see this in the first game. But if that is the game to do it, to play Randle, to play Smart, to put pressure, even Gabe Vincent, tomorrow is the game, because Timberwolves do not have that guy. They don't want Ant to do it because he'll get tired and he has to do all this scoring. But I think they had huge problems. Just start the same recipe of, obviously, Portland is a different beast when you talk about Toumani Kamara, when you talk about Jrue Holiday, when you talk about Thybul. But I think Randle and Smart this is something that they should really do. Just put up the pressure 90 feet and press. Be the aggressors.
I couldn't agree more. I understand that Vando can fall in and out of favor based off of how well he's performing offensively, but defensively, his skill set is critical, I think, to the Lakers' success, particularly without LeBron. You talked about the rebounding. Rui is not going to be a guy who's going to get you 10 rebounds in a game. He might not get you 10 if 5 fell right in his lap. Right. So I think Vando needs to be on the court a little bit more, even if it's just to help on the glass and then be that ball pressure defender.
And that's a fairly rare combination of skill set, right? Most of your main on ball pressure type of guys are often not great rebounders or not a huge contributor in that respect. And so that said, Vando has been downright brutal on the offensive end. And so figuring that out is going to be one of the Lakers' bigger challenges because he provides a level of size and athleticism and just in areas that the Lakers really need. But if they can't figure out the offense, it's not going to matter much. Iztok, this has been great. Let the folks know, where can they find your work?
Yeah, basically all my work is on Substack, on Digging Basketball Substack. So I do regularly, now with season starting, game previews, game observations and other stuff. So a lot of Lakers basketball, a lot about Luka, about other players, sometimes even league trends. So that's it, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, man. I hope you can join us regularly throughout the course of this season. We will be back tomorrow, do a little preview of the game ourselves. But until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn his double team. Just pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
And Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. And the Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound is lobbed. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good!
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his 8th block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Ready pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two, one.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable.
It's over.
Shot clock now to 5.
Bryant. Yes. And that was a little tap to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.